The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Joseph Prince, in this special interview, explains how Jesus provides for your health and wholeness through Holy Communion.
I always say that Jesus is our everything. What does that mean? Jesus is also our faith. When I don't have faith, you know, even when I'm feeling fear in my emotions, He's my faith. And when you take communion, for many people, the testimony is that I have a greater joy, a deeper peace, you know, and they start to realize that fear becomes a decreasing factor.
I'm James Robinson. Betty and I want to welcome you to Life Today. I'm believing that the church of the Lord Jesus is going to have 20/20 vision. We're going to see more clearly the will of God than we ever have. And you're going to see not just an answer to the prayers of serious Christians, but Jesus' prayer, that the family become one with the Father, but also in the latter part of that prayer in John 17, that we become so in love, not only with the Lord, but one another, not just our neighbor, but believers in the family, that the world knows we're His disciples, followers. We're His family. We're the church. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're seeing a good example of this right now. Joseph Prince, Singapore. I mean, all the way on the other side of the world. And, you know, he let us know that we see Jesus. And he said in Betty for sure, but in both of you, but in Life Outreach and all you're doing. And New Creation Church, all of us. In Singapore, we want to help you. And New Creation Church and Joseph Prince have become among the most faithful and strongest supporters of the Outreaches of Life. Well, he's touring the United States, and Luke, our oldest grandson, and Cassie, his wife, now the parents of two beautiful great-grandchildren. Oh, man, they got a boy and a girl, and they are so awesome. But they were traveling with Joseph, and while they were traveling, they sat down and talked to him about a book that he has right now that I'm telling you talks about spiritual health in a way you may not have heard it. So here is Luke Redmond, his wife Cassie, with Pastor Joseph Prince.
Thanks, James and Betty. We're so excited to be here, or Mimi and Papa, as we typically say. So I know Cass and I are sure excited to be here and so excited and honored to have Pastor Prince with us. So thank you so much for giving us this opportunity.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. As two people that have just listened to you for years now, I know with your new book and titled Eat Your Way to Life and Health, I know on that topic we've heard you preach about it for so long. So we waited with great anticipation when we found out you were writing a book about it. If you could share, we'd love to know kind of why you felt it was important to write a book.
I've been preaching on this, on the Holy Communion for 20 years now. But I felt like it's time for all these truths to be put in a form like a book so that people can refresh themselves, all right? And for those who know that about the teaching, and for those who don't know, it can be an eye-opener for them, because it is something that the early church practiced, but we have veered away from that. And in the early church, they broke bread from house to house, and daily, it says they broke bread daily. And even on Sunday, which is the day that they met, it says upon the first day of the week in Acts 20, they came together to break bread. Think about it. That was in Troas in Acts 20, and they had the best speaker ever in town. There was the Apostle Paul. Mm. And yet it did not say that they came together on the first day of the week to hear Paul. Now today we come together to hear a speaker or a pastor or to have a worship event that, you know, in town. But their purpose for coming together is to break bread. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to bring that back again to the body of Christ.
Good. That was really good. Yeah. I know something, I've read a lot of the book, and I think my favorite part was even the first chapter, mm-hmm. you know. And I think if anything, I think when you read the first chapter, it makes you just want to keep going. But you talk about in there where the Church of Corinth talks mm-hmm. about partaking in an unworthy manner. And just would love to hear what that means. I think a lot of us, even as believers, might have a misconception of what that actually is. So could you share on that?
Yeah, that 1 Corinthians 11 was the one that opened my eyes, because I remember in the 90s, I was a young pastor Still am.
But, amen.
In 1 Corinthians 11, when I began to search the Word of God for answers, because when I started preaching this 20 years ago, our people were a smaller congregation, but there were a lot of people who were sick. And like the elderly would have a dementia, Alzheimer's, then the younger ones, some of them are as young as teenagers, they would be diagnosed with cancer or things like that. So I felt like beyond the word of faith teachings that I've received and all that, I felt like there must be more. There must be some provision that God has put in the body of Christ that has an answer for the local church. Mm-hmm. And as a local pastor, you are concerned about your church, your local church. So that was not something that I sought for an answer to the greater body of Christ. It was just something a young pastor wanted for his own congregation. Mm-hmm. So I started looking into the Word of God, asking God for answers all the time. So he brought me to 1 Corinthians 11, the very portion that you mentioned just now. And I saw this phrase, "for this reason." And when I saw that, it says, "for this reason." Number one, what jumped out was that singular reason. It says, "for this reason, many are weak and sick and fall asleep or die prematurely." And I kind of wish that it did not say many, yeah. Right? But in the body of Christ, there are many who are weak and sick, mm-hmm. and passing on prematurely. Then I began to see, for this reason, singular reason. So I told myself, whatever this reason is, right, I believe this is the answer to my prayer. And I believe that God wants me to find out this reason. And the verse before that says, they failed, this is the reason, they failed to discern the Lord's body. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a failure of discerning the cup. It was a failure of discerning the Lord's body. So that got me on the search, mm-hmm. on the Lord's Supper, and I realized that there's so much more than what I've been taught.
For someone that like has maybe been taking communion even for a while, mm-hmm. or but maybe isn't seen the healings manifest itself in their own body, should they keep taking it? Do they, you know, they might be struggling with just even doubt in a sense, or what, yeah. you know, what would you have to say to someone?
In this book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, most of the testimonies here, in every chapter we have a testimony, and most of the testimonies here are testimonies of people who receive their healing incrementally. Mm. And by that, I mean, every time they partake, they are believing that they are getting better, they're getting healthier. Even the Bible says that the way the Lord manifests the harvest in our lives is 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. When it's 30-fold, right, manifestation, there's a 70-fold of no healing just yet, still the pain is there. But when 60-fold, you've got more healing than sickness. Mm. And you come to the place of 100-fold. For example, we have a testimony of a man who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And he and his wife followed the teachings and they listened to me and they began to take communion on a daily basis for 4 years. And right at the end of 4 years, they went back to the same doctor. The doctor says she can't find any trace of Alzheimer's. She's rewriting the diagnosis and all that. And we have that on video. So that's what I call an incremental healing. They didn't receive all at once. But we also have testimonies of people that have seen more spectacular healings, like overnight. We have a lady who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and the daughter follows some teaching, and the daughter began to share with the mom about... Mm. In fact, the mom came to a place where she could not recognize the faces of her family members, nor their names, even her loved ones around her. And her daughter shared with her about the teachings on communion, what she has received from me. And she said that they partook of the communion, went to bed. The very next day, the mother woke up and could recognize every one of her family members and their names. So that's what I call a spectacular healing. Right. And we all want the spectacular healing. Right. We want the instant miracle. But communion is more like the more you partake, the healthier you become. Mm-hmm. And it's a relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, sometimes I think it was a great man of God one time who said that sometimes instant miracles can cause a person to, you know, take the Lord for granted.
Mm. Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and whereas this is a relationship with the Lord.
I really like that you didn't just touch on the physical healing, but that you also touched on how communion can play a role in our anxiety, in our stress.
Yes.
Could you maybe speak a little bit more to the emotional toils and how communion affects
personally,
that?
Personally, when I take communion, sometimes, you know, you what I take for my loved ones or someone else, sometimes you start off with anxiety and worry. This is how I learned that even communion delivers you from depression, from discouragement, from stress. I began to realize that I just have to take it. Even if I'm taking it worried, I'm taking it fearful, take it. Because the first area I find that it ministers to is not the area of your sickness. It's actually the area of your emotions. I find that the more I partake and I sense His love and I'm reminded again of why He died for my sins, when I partake, I find that I get less and less fearful, less anxious, less, depressed about my situation. So I've noticed many times people who partake, the first area the Lord ministers to is their emotions. And I guess it stands to reason because when Jesus suffered for us, before He was on the cross, it all started, and Mel Gibson has it right because he has the movie, The Passion of the Christ, starting in the garden. And what happened in the garden? Jesus sweat blood. Now, it is a medical condition. And I mentioned the condition in one of my books, that when you sweat blood, it is under extreme duress, extreme stress, where your capillaries burst and your blood and sweat mingles, and it comes out as a bloody sweat. It has happened down through history to numerous people when they sweat blood. So when Jesus sweat blood, and I'm particularly touched by this because it was Him anticipating the cross, anticipating the fact He's going to become sin. And for someone perfectly holy like our Lord, who never sinned, who's never been separated from the Father, the very thought of becoming sin at the cross, that must have sent a shockwave into His old being, that the very thought of it, He sweat blood. Can you imagine being on the cross itself? When the thought of it is already... So he took our stress, He took our depression, because remember when God said this to Adam after Adam's sin, by the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. In other words, from now on, you won't have it easy. You will do everything by the sweat of your face. And that was in the Garden of Eden. Well, what happened in the garden was finished in another garden where Jesus sweat blood. And because there's a redeeming quality to His blood, when He sweat blood, He redeemed all of us from depression. And the Bible says He sweat blood. Where do you sweat? From your brow. He redeemed us from the curse of human effort, human depression, from fears, worries, anxieties. And the blood fell to the ground. And God says, cursed is the ground for your sake, Adam. And now that ground where we walk is favor ground, redeemed ground.
Amen. Yeah. I can honestly say, I think just even through the revelation of reading the book and what communion is really all about and remembering what Jesus did for us, I've never taken it more just even since the reading about the revelation of discerning the Lord's body. So it is so powerful just even as a family, you know, to do it together and saying, God, we believe in what You did and we are taking hold of all that You died to give us, which, yes, forgiveness of sins, but also a healthy life, you know. You touched even talking about, you know, when you said something about in there about doing it and for your family.
Yes.
How do you get, you know, even your little ones, like, you
like
know,
how
involved?
How should we incorporate our family, our little ones?
It's amazing how they are the ones that latch on really fast, you know, and when we forget, they are the ones that tell us, Daddy, we forgot to do communion today. It all started with Jessica when she had separation anxieties with, you know, being separated from the mom during her grade one, grade two. She didn't want to go to school, you know. She felt like, you know, she wanted to stay at home. And every time she go to school, it's a bit difficult. So we had communion together. Let's have communion, all right? And every time we did that, she felt better going to school, to the point she reminded us, I want to have communion now, I want to have communion, no? And then early this year when I was writing this book, we experienced something. It was the worst thing that ever happened in our family. All right, Justin fell. He's now in grade one, his first year in school, and he's 7 years old. And he fell during recess time from a high elevation. He was seated on the balcony. He fell backwards, and when Wendy was summoned to the school and she saw the place where the height from which he fell, she felt she must bring him to the hospital. So they did an MRI scan, a CT scan, and they detected two fractures in his skull, and there was some bleeding, and he began to throw up. That's not a good sign. So the doctors decided to admit him, and Wendy stayed with him, and all the while she began to take communion, because the you know, with all the medical breakthrough, they don't have an answer for fractures. They just have to observe him and give him painkillers, you know, paracetamol. And that's all they can do. And every few hours, observe the vital signs. So Wendy began to take communion with him. He was complaining about pain, intense pain, headache. If for a seven-year-old thought about headache,
sure.
You know, it's like, it breaks your heart. But it's like a blow-by-blow account. She began to take like three times a day with him, morning, noon, evening, before he goes to bed. And she would ask him, what's your pain threshold, right? 0 to 10. He would say 10 at first. Then the more he partakes, it'd be 8. Mm. The next day, 6. The next day, 4.
Wow.
Until finally, the fourth day, he was free from pain. And the doctor says, there's no reason to keep him.
That's so amazing.
You mentioned even taking Justin to the hospital. So my next question would be, you know, for many people might think, is Pastor Prince saying communion's a replacement for healthy eating, exercise, mm-hmm. doctors, but it looks like you work out? Or, you know, what would you say to someone that might be thinking, you know, maybe is communion just the only thing I need to do for my health, or should I continue to eat well and exercise?
The Lord said something to me many years ago, and I think it's helped me and helped others who have heard me share this. The Lord says that fitness, you can get fitness by going to the gym, by what you do, mm-hmm. fitness. But he says that health comes from the Lord. So we know of people who are fit, and then all of a sudden they're diagnosed with some mm-hmm. condition in their body, and sometimes even in a short time, mm-hmm. you know, they start deteriorating and all that. So it's okay, by all means. I observe overall healthy diet. I was just sharing with you, I've never eaten so much meat since I came to the U.S. Like, I mean, you have all kinds, man, you know. Coming to Dallas, wow, heart ate. I'm giving a free advertisement here. Okay. You know, it's like, wow, how can you be in Dallas
right.
and not eat? So that was the last meat I ate.
Oh, my goodness.
Beef brisket
so good.
in heart ate. And I love meat, but, you know, I try to observe. My spirit tells me, okay, stay, you know, mm-hmm. you still got to follow the spirit,
right.
what
sure.
to eat and all that. But our trust cannot be in what is natural. Because nature has fallen. When man fell, all creation fell, mm-hmm. and creation is groaning. Even organic food, you know, the nutritional value of the organic food is no longer the same. Like what it was 50 years ago, 100 years ago, you know. So you cannot trust, you cannot try to achieve what is supernatural with what is natural. Mm-hmm. So our trust is not in creation. Our trust is in redemption,
Amen.
In what Christ
Amen.
Has done.
Yeah.
So by all means, listen to the Spirit as to what to eat and how to exercise. Sometimes even a walk, the Spirit of God will say, go for a walk, mm-hmm. but you want to do your, you know, the mm-hmm. extreme or whatever. But listen to the Spirit. He mm-hmm. knows exactly what kind of exercise you need and all that. So by all means, exercise, by all means, you know.
yeah.
I have a friend in Israel called Samuel Smadja. Early this year, he was diagnosed with a rare form of bladder cancer. And the doctor says that even with treatment, there's only a 20% chance of recovery. And I was in Israel in March, and I saw him. I never seen my friend who is so sanguine, you know, so happy, so depressed. He looked morose, depressed, downcast. And I reminded him again of the teaching of the Lord's Supper, and he began to take it almost every day. 2 months ago, he called me. I was in church on Sunday. I didn't respond. Monday, I called him back. He says, the doctors just checked me, and they found no trace of cancer.
Wow. That's amazing.
He said, I've been given a new lease of life, yeah. you know. And it's not all at once, but if you can respect the Lord's Supper, mm-hmm. just as you would respect the doctor's medicine, take this 3 times a day. Why not take it as often as you can?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's so good.
Thank you so much for the time to be able to talk about your book. I know it's just going to bless so many. And thank you for watching today. I'm going to send it back to my grandparents. They're going to show you how you can get Pastor Prince's brand new book. And also help the outreaches of life. So thank you.
Well, Betty and I just want to say, Luke and Cassie, thank you. And we know how much you love Joseph. And we know how much he and his whole staff love you. You all have been a blessing to them. They let us know that. Here is the book. Now please understand, because you've heard us talk about the need to take care of the temple of God. And that does have to do with how we eat and whether
yeah,
we stay active. Very important. Mm-hmm. Can save your life. What Joseph has done, and he does let you know that all of that's important too, but there's some spiritual application when you really understand what really Holy Communion is like, which is so much more than just a some kind of a sacrament. There's really relationship here that brings healing, and Joseph is just gifted by God to communicate that. But then know this, Joseph began to really love us because he saw what God put on our heart and what God did through committed missionaries to change everything, now and forever, because of the anointing of God. They began to support the outreaches of life. And one of the outreaches that excited Joseph and the whole New Creation Church was Water for Life. Go with me a moment. See if you don't want to have a part in giving people water for life and showing them who the water of life is. Watch closely.
These are just some of the diseases and ailments that nearly a billion people are exposed to every single day because their only water source is contaminated.
You know, if you were thirsty in Africa or in many of the remote parts of the world, you'd walk up to a stream like this and say, oh, I've got great water. But what you don't realize is in this area alone, thousands of people got cholera, serious severe diarrhea, many people, it cost them their children.
Our mission teams have seen these water conditions firsthand in several countries around the world, and they have ministered to families whose lives are torn apart by sickness and death simply because they had no other choice but to drink contaminated water.
And they can't do anything about it because it's all the water that they have. I just can't even imagine. This little baby is so precious, so beautiful. Her mother loves her so much. And I want to see this little baby live healthy because we've given some fresh water to them.
But there is a simple solution for these families, a clean water well. Life Outreach and its mission partners have the experienced teams and necessary equipment ready to drill hundreds of safe, life-giving water wells around the world.
I cannot tell you how happy this scene makes me. I mean, this is what love is all about, the fulfillment of seeing Life Outreach International water well right here so that these children can grow up and have healthy, happy lives. This is good water. Yes, indeed. And we want to do this over and over again. If you've helped us do this, thank you so much. James and Betty, I bet this makes you very, very happy. But the need is still great. Let's do this again and again and again till this is the norm in Zambia and in villages all around the world. Cheers.
Wow, we love all you children, and Sheila, we love you. And here is Sheila's book, Praying Women. Now, I'm telling you something. We're seeing answers to prayer already, but what's about to happen this year, I think it's going to be one of the greatest miracles the world's ever seen. We're sending Sheila's book, Praying Women, to everyone who makes any gift to help us share water. And Joseph Prince's book, and then some other items that we're sending to bless you, as you help us drill hundreds of wells. So Betty, you know what I'm praying for. Our missionaries have shown us hundreds of areas where there's fresh water available if we can just drill a well. And you, the viewers, paid for the well drilling equipment. But we have to send it there. And then listen to what I'm saying. The average cost is still $4,800. I don't know how long that's going to remain true, but there have been some very positive things happen to keep it at that. Would you help us? Would you help us drill those hundreds of wells? Maybe even exceed what our advisors and staff council have said you need to limit this year. It makes me want to cry. Well, we're going to do all you enable us to do because you're the ones that give us the ability to drill those wells. Would you right now go and get your bank card and call the number on the screen and say, I'm going to give a well or a portion of a well? $48, and that's how most of the money comes. We have some people who give $4,800. We have people who say we make that a goal every year to drill a well. We have some who say, I'm praying God will let us help drill several. Well, thank God for that. But most come with people giving $48, which gives 10 people water the rest of their life. $144 gives 30. Could you give $1,200 or $2,400 and pray others join you? We'd have a well. Would you go online, use that bank card like a check, or call the number, and make the gift God puts on your heart. Thank you so much for being an answer to the prayers of so many who want their children to have a future. You saw our grandson and his wife. They have two little children, two and under. What if they had to have water? I'll guarantee you, they understand what it is to want the best for their babies, their children. Would you help provide that miracle of love? Help us drill these wells. One rail at a time, one gift at a time. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for going online and making the gift God put on your heart.
Today, a mother living in extreme poverty will do the unthinkable. Give her children dirty, disease-filled water that she knows could kill them. With no other choice, what's a mother to do? With your help, clean water is on the way. Mission Water for Life is the answer to a mother's prayer to save the lives of her children, to offer them a bright future free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Praying Women, How to Pray When You Don't Know What to Say. In her new book, Sheila Wall shows you how to reignite your conversation with God to become a strong praying woman. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Power of Prayer Bundle. This bundle includes a cozy throw blanket adorned with words of the Lord's Prayer, a decorative pillow cover, as well as Sheila's book. All three are encouraging reminders of how there's power in your faith-filled prayers. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, as I told you, Sheila's book will come to all of you for any gift. Those of you who make the gift we requested will also receive Joseph Prince's book. And I promise you, you'll be greatly blessed. Thank you for being a miracle, answer to someone's prayers, and giving them the miracle of life. God bless you.
So once you see it that way, it becomes a relationship. It becomes an appointment of love with Him.
The healing power of the Holy Communion tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.